Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online. We are beginning a brand new series called All I Want for Christmas, and that's because we are just kicking off a season in the Christian calendar called Advent. Advent is a Latin word which means arrival or coming. So obviously, this is this time in a season in which we wait for the arrival of the newborn king. And Advent culminates, as you might suspect, with Christmas. And today's topic is, do you want hope? All I want for Christmas, do you want hope? A better question is, do you need hope? Do you must have hope? What I want to accomplish in this message is by answering three questions. Why do we need hope? Number two, what is hope? And number three, how do we apply hope? Number one, why do we need hope? I read a book by Viktor Frankl titled A Man's Search for Meaning. Frankl was a Jewish psychoanalyst, psychiatrist in Vienna, Austria before World War II. He was taken into the death camps in the Auschwitz, and he survived that ordeal. As a good psychiatrist, he was fascinated by observing people as to how all these prisoners responded to the suffering, the grief, and even death itself. And this is what he wrote in his book. Just let me read you a couple of paragraphs. Now, keep in mind, these prisoners were experiencing forced labor, starvation, cold, and imminent death. And I read, many prisoners just lost all hope. Usually this happened quite suddenly. We all fear for this moment for in our friends. Usually it began one morning when the prisoner simply refused to get dressed or wash or go out to the parade grounds for inspection. No blows, no threats had any effect on them. They just lay there because they had given up. Nothing bothered them anymore because they had no hope. And Frankl talks about one particular inmate who had a dream. And in his dream, the war was going to end on March 30. And there was a change in his demeanor because he thought his dream was a revelation. He actually believed that the war would end on March 30. So there he was, doing forced labor, but he was not complaining anymore all of a sudden because of the dream. And there he was, starving, but he was not complaining anymore. Why not? Because he believed in the dream that the war would end on March 30. The day came, March 30. There was no liberation. On March 31, the following day, this inmate lost his consciousness and he died. And Dr. Frankl writes, he died because he had given up hope. Hope just vanished. He was doing fine up to March 30, and then the hope did not materialize. It did not come to pass. It was just a wish. And his body physically shut down, and he died the following day. And a lot of people also said this, if I can just survive, I can get all my hopes back. And I read, many held on through the hope that if they had stayed alive, their health, their family, their professional achievements, fortune and position in society, those things that had been their hope, would be restored. If they could just stay alive, they could get their hope back. But after liberation, so many found when the day of their dreams had finally come, it was much different than what they had longed for. Many people went into deep depression for the rest of their lives after their liberation, or even committed suicide. Some just simply held on, thinking, hoping, if I could get out, then I'll have my meaning in life back. But they didn't. But they didn't. Think about that, friends. They said to themselves, if just stay alive, hold on, stay alive. Because when we get out, when we are liberated, the things that gave us hope, like family, professional achievements, fortune, even wealth, all those things in which they found hope in the past, they thought it would all come back and their hope will be alive. But they were wrong. It didn't come back. Write this word in your sermon outline. Life only has meaning if you have a hope that suffering and even death cannot destroy. And this is why we need hope. You know this. You need hope not only to survive, you need hope for meaning and purpose in life. And whatever you put your hope in, it has to be bigger, greater, and stronger than yourself or anything in this earthly life. Because whatever you hope in, it must outlast you. It must be bigger than you or anything in this world and what the world has to offer. Again, let me read. Life only has meaning if you have a hope that suffering and even death cannot destroy. Question: do you have this kind of hope? Whatever you put your hope in, can it outlast death itself? Is it bigger and stronger than anything this world can offer? If it doesn't, when those things die, so does your hope. And that's when life stops. So that's why we need hope. Now, may I move to the second point? Then what is hope? What is hope? Oftentimes, in our days, when we use the word hope, how do we use it? I've heard people say, oh, I hope I passed on my exam. I hope I get married next year. I hope I get a better job. I hope my children turn out good. I hope the war in Ukraine will end soon. Fingers crossed, and how does the saying end? Fingers crossed and hope for the best. When we use the word hope in our vernacular, what we really mean is, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hope it happens. It's a wish. There's no guarantee. There's no certainty. There is no assurance. May I give you a biblical definition of hope? You ready? Write these words. Biblical hope is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. When the Bible says, when Jesus Christ, the author of the Holy Spirit, and when God says hope in the Bible, it is what? A confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. Not only do you desire something good in the future, you expect that will happen. And not only do you desire something good in the future and you expect it to happen, you have confidence that it will come to pass. There is a moral certainty that good, that the good we expect and desire will be done. It will come to pass. Now here's the question. How do you know? How can you be assured of this confidence that what you expect, what you desire, something good in the future will indeed come to pass? How can you be certain of that? That's the question we got to ask. So here's the theme and the goal of this message. You can be sure of your hope because its foundation is in the incarnation. You can be certain, assured, confident of your hope that the Bible offers because its foundation is what? The incarnation. Let me take you to the word of the Lord. This is Isaiah, but also the Gospel according to John. Hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The foundation of the hope that the Bible prescribes and describes is what? The incarnation. Isaiah prophesied, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The virgin will have a child. She will be conceived. And who is this child that is to be born? The Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And He says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call Him what? What's His name? We will call Him Emmanuel. That means God with us. And John picks up on this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh, incarnate, and made His dwelling among us. In the theology of the incarnation, the Creator God, the Lord of the universe, the one who made all this, the transcendent, the holy, righteous, amazing God Himself, He came all the way down. He took on flesh. And that's what it means to incarnate. It means to take on flesh, to be in flesh. God, who had no body, took on bodily form and became one of us. Why? Emmanuel. So that God can be with you and with me. And that's the doctrine. And this is an amazing, amazing truth. No other religion has this. Not even close. Muslims would say that this is blasphemous. That Allah will become, took on flesh. That is blasphemous. It could never happen, and it must not happen. Jews, I've heard one rabbi saying, the Christians believe that the God of the universe, the transcendent, the holy God, came all the way down, took on flesh, incarnate, so that God of the universe can be with us, Emmanuel. And I heard him say, that is an amazing theology. I wish it were true. I just don't believe it. He wants it to be true. It's too good to be true. But in the person of Christ, it did happen. And this is how you know that your hope has a foundation, that it will be certain, it will be assured, it will come to pass. You can hold on to your hope in Christ and whatever He promised, because your hope, its foundation is what? The incarnation. God with us. That is to say, the hope that the Bible offers, the hope that you and I need so much, is not an idea, is not a wish. It happened in an event in history. It happened in the past. In the book of Isaiah, in the person of Christ, John 1, God of the universe took on flesh. And that's why you can believe God is with us. And that's why, would you write these words? Christian hope is shaped by what has happened in the past and what will happen again. Again, I need you to understand this. The foundation of your hope in the Bible, or what the Bible offers, is in the incarnation, an event in history. So friends, since God is with you, Emmanuel, in the person of Christ, what difference would that make in your life today? As you are navigating through your life's journey, as you are facing all kinds of challenges and uncertainties of tomorrow, what difference would this hope make? That you can be certain, that you can be assured, that you can be confident in this expectation and desire, something good will happen. And how do you know? Emmanuel, God with us. So lastly, how do we apply hope in our lives? Let me take you to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Fascinating stuff. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. In the original Greek, the word translated as alert, it says, with minds that are alert, okay? This is a term describing physical preparation. What it literally means is tucking in your garment, tucking in your outer clothes. It's like farmers. They tuck in their clothes before going to the field. It's like soldiers tucking in their clothes before going off to a war. It's like runners tucking in their outer clothes before the race. It is a physical preparation. What that means is this. How you apply hope in your life, the hope described in the Bible, is not passive. We don't simply wait. We anticipate and we participate. Eugene Peterson, in the Message, he renders a different translation. He says, it's like roll up your sleeves and participate in the hope that God is giving to us in our life. So that's why this is important. One way for us to apply hope is, again, participate, roll up your sleeves. And number two, you look forward by looking backward. You look forward, how? By looking backward. Hope is a confident expectation and a desire for something good in the future. You look forward by looking backward. That is to say, an event took place. Jesus Christ, the Creator God, He took on flesh. He became incarnate so that God may be you, so that God may work out His plan. Upon His shoulders will be government and peace, and the zeal of the Lord will accomplish all those promises of hope. So we look backward. Excuse me, we look forward by looking backward. But it's not just looking backwards, but there's another aspect. Write these words. Christian hope is not just for the future, but from the future. It's not just for the future, but the hope that you need and that you want is from the future as well. Let me take you to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, Emmanuel, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." Would you read verse 4 with me? "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And this is what it means, right? The hope that we need, what Christ is going to accomplish, is not just for the future, but it's from the future. You anticipate and therefore you participate by rolling up your sleeves and acting upon what Christ said He will do. I think of a couple. They were praying for a long time to be conceived. And they finally did. I mean, the wife, obviously. But you know what I mean. And it happened during the pandemic. However, there were complications. Only 3 days after being born, their daughter breathed her last. The couple was devastated. They were crushed. But their hope did not waver. You know what they did? They rolled up their sleeves. and they prayed over their child, and they looked to the incarnation, God with us, Emmanuel. We are not alone in this trial and in this suffering. God is suffering with us. And they also looked to the future, because the hope came from the future when Christ says, I will wipe away every tear. Their hope never wavered because they rolled up their sleeves. I think of Darren. He lost his job. It wasn't because he was a bad worker, and it wasn't because he was slacking. He worked really hard, and he prayed as a man of God. He prayed, oh Lord, provide for me so that I may provide for my family. And he was actively searching for employment, but for some reasons, unknown reasons, things weren't working out. In his confusion, in his dire situation, his hope never wavered. You know what he did? He rolled up his sleeves and he anticipated in the hope. And therefore he was able to participate in working out God's plan. His hope never wavered. He waited upon the Lord and he put his hope in the Lord's promises. His hope never wavered. I think of Christina, a young songwriter in her early 20s. She was writing songs for the Lord. She was writing songs for her church. And one day she was diagnosed with a stomach cancer, a very aggressive one. But she continued writing songs, singing songs. When he became so weak, he wasn't able to play the guitar and sing the song at the same time in her church. So she recruited musician friends who would play the guitar while she was singing. Soon after her death, 3 weeks after her death, everyone in the church received a copy of her new album. 6 original songs, painstakingly written and recorded in her final moments. You know what she did? She rolled up her sleeves and she anticipated in the hope that God is with us, Emmanuel, and Jesus Christ is making all things new, and therefore she was able to participate in that hope. Her hope never wavered. Friends, how about you? How about you? You can be certain of your hope that the Bible offers to you because its foundation is in the incarnation. God of the universe is with you, Emmanuel, in the person of Jesus. And Jesus Christ, who is sovereign, he is making all things new, even now, and he will return. The hope is not only for the future, but it's from the future. As we close, let me ask you, what is the nugget that the Holy Spirit is giving you? May I help you with that? Just one of three things. Is the Holy Spirit yet, as in, is there a promise to claim? Is there a sin to confess? Is there a challenge to accept? In the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of this hope is being offered to you right now by the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Will you receive him? Will you submit before him? Will you kneel before him and say, every tongue confess, every knee shall bow, that Christ is the Lord and he is my hope? Remember, your hope must outlast everything on this earth. Because without this hope that is eternal, your hope dies with you. And that's what Christ is doing. He's offering himself as your hope. Receive him, submit to him, and serve him. Second, is there a sin to confess? Have you been hopeless? Is it because you have put your hope in the things of the earth? Your hope is not big enough, and then have you experienced grief and sorrow because you put your hope in the wrong things, not in the person of Jesus Christ? Is that you make a confession and God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, will restore you and give you comfort and assurance. And lastly, is there a challenge for you to accept? Is the Holy Spirit giving you a nugget? Now, I don't know what that is, but there is a challenge. There's the promise, and therefore you get to what? Roll up your sleeves, anticipate the hope, and thereby you can participate today. What is the challenge? I want to give you a moment and think about all these things before we pray. So let's go before the Lord. So would you, in your mind, in your spirit, bring your responses before the Lord. Let's do that right now. Lord Jesus, you are Emmanuel. Lord Jesus, therefore, you are our living hope. And Lord Jesus, therefore, we can overcome any challenge, any confusion, any uncertainty, anything that this world may throw at us. Because you are the sovereign, and you are making everything new. So as we anticipate, we participate in your hope. By rolling up our sleeves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.